a lot of people are into inspiring sports stories, and this really touches all those notes. Daniel, I'll start with you. How did this story fall into your lap?
Well, it fell in my lap via Christian right here, the producer co-writer. He had found the story of Greg, read a couple articles and learned about him, and he came to me and we'd worked together before and wanted to write something together. And for a little while we thought, that we should pursue this movie. And then when COVID hit, it made a lot of sense because it's out on the road. You could shoot with a little bit more safety and hit the check all the boxes we had to check a little easier. And so it was this weird thing where it was something that we were passionate about and really wanted to make for a long time. And then because we had to be pragmatic when COVID hit, it became like the logical thing to pursue, whereas before it was one of many projects that we were interested in.
Kristen, did you personally know some of these people, or is this a story that was just kind of told to you and you adapted?
No, yeah, I met Greg. Well, first I should say that the best article that's been written about Greg was an article by Tracy Ross in Bicycling Magazine back in 2013 or something like that. And there's been some other articles too, but Tracy wrote a wonderful article. And yeah, I had a chance to go out to Colorado and meet Greg and ride bikes with the boys, his students. And kind of just poke around and see if I always thought there might be a story here. It had a lot of the elements. Dan and I had talked about it of an inspirational sports film. But then when I got to meet Greg in person and just watch the relationship that he has with these young men and how they treat each other and how they interact, it was so it's hard to describe, but he's a very special guy. And we gravitate towards unique characters. And we actually had to like, normally, you have to elevate stories that are based on a real life person, but for this one, we actually had to kind of pull it back and tone them down a little bit to make it work on screen. So that's how you've got a good character to wrap a story around.
Joaquin, do you like the athleticism in a movie? Do you look for parts that actually kind of give you a workout?
You know what? I love, the athleticism part as far as because I work out every day. I used to play football for 8 years. I ran track for 8 years. So, that's easy for me. But as far as like, do I look for that? It's not something that I look for, but I say that it's a plus to have it, because we were really riding those bikes in the desert. We were r riding up a hill. We learned how to ride those bikes and everything. So, yeah.
Jackson, talk to me a little bit about that too. It really is something that you really can't prepare for. You have to train for. You just can't hop on a bike and just pretend like you know.
Right, yeah, and I think we were kind of blessed because we shot the movie pretty much chronologically. So at the start, our characters aren't supposed to be very good at cycling, and we just as people, as ourselves, weren't very good. And so sort of as the film goes along and you see our characters getting better, that's just because we were improving as well and getting more comfortable with the bike. And it was this sort of beautiful marriage of either art mirroring life or life mirroring art, or I don't know what was happening, but it was sort of in our favor that we were very lucky in the sense that we sort of got to shoot that way.
Damien, was there a good marriage of cyclist and butt butter?
Oh gosh. Not one of us used that butt butter whatsoever. We all kept making a joke about it each time it was on set in our
But did
face.
anyone chafe?
Yeah, let's just,
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
we
We were sore for sure, but
for sure sore.
the props guy Niels, it was like he wouldn't quit offering it. He'd be like, I got it here if you want, you
Like
can just. We're like,
I'm telling you guys, it helps, it works. We're like, nah, we don't want it, we don't need it. And I'm towards the end of the film, we were probably like, damn, we probably should have used it.
we probably should have used it. Yeah,
Yeah.
most definitely.
Tony Nils, by the way, big cyclist, like a lot of our crew that joined this project are passionate cyclists, so they lent their expertise, I think. process.
That must be kind of an interesting thing to have people around you that, you know, are experts or at least know the sport to give you pointers, because they want you to look like you know what you're doing after a while. Jackson, tell me a little bit about that process, because you start, as you said, not knowing how to cycle, and then, you know, by the end of the film, you guys are very good at it. What was that like for you personally?
I mean, I really fell in love with the sport and cycling, and I've continued to ride. I actually got lunch with Damien yesterday and rode my bike there, and I've done some rides with Cheech since the film. I think it's such a beautiful sport, and it really unlocked something in me. But I think we had a great we had some training at the start. This woman named Dorothy Wong, who sort of showed us the ropes and the basic elements. And it's not like riding a street bike that you grew up riding. The handlebars are different. The way you the seat is different. The gears are different. The way you operate it and the way it rides and feels beneath you is very different. And the stuff we were doing is very technical. Like some of these descents. And the climbs and staying in the Peloton and being behind someone's wheel. So there was a huge learning curve, but I loved getting the chance to throw myself into the world and really learn about it.
Daniel, talk to me about working with Matthew Modine. You've worked with him before. Was he your first choice to play the role?
Yeah, I mean, there's not that many people who could take on a part like this and really. And really live it, like Matthew was always, I mean, obviously like love him as an actor and all these things like that too. But in terms of someone who's like a star and has all of the, all the talents that he has, who's also going to come out and ride a bike all day, every day, and go out into the middle of the desert and be in the elements and be just fine with that and kind of down for the adventure, that was also a huge part of thinking about this movie. And from working with him, I knew that it was the kind of story, because we talked, like the kind of story and the kind of character that he would really love to play, because he does want to, find positive role models and have positive like representation of people trying to make a difference in the world, as Greg does. But also there's a complexity there that he could sink his teeth into. So I knew that side would be good, but then it's like, okay, will he, who's gonna be down to, do his own stunts in the desert and all that kind of stuff? Because when he falls off his bike, he just falls onto an old mattress that we pulled from the motel down the road that we were all staying at. And it was the kind of thing where we're like ready to sort of maybe try and cut around that moment. And Matthew's like, well, if you just got a mattress and kind of hit it down here and I could fall on that. It's like, okay, if you're willing to suggest that, then I think we could probably do it. And that's who he is. And that's who he's always been. And so that definitely made him the top contender for a role like this.
Christian, in you know, kind of putting all this together and you know, following this journey that everybody took, was there a lot of rewriting to the script that had to be done because locations changed and things like that?
No, it's funny. I was a cyclist myself, and also I'm familiar with all these roles. I kind of also acted as location manager. I mean, we had a great location manager, Logan, who helped us, but I always kind of envisioned these couple of iconic roads appearing in the film. So that part, I could see them. Yeah, there was definitely It was definitely the script came together pretty quickly. I think I gave a terrible first draft to Dan, and maybe 3 months later, after some back and forth, he elevated it to a really incredible piece of writing. And and I think all the actors responded to it. So the script actually came together quite quickly.
Oh, that's beautiful when it happens. Ja-King, talk to me a little bit about working with Matthew Modine. Is he a great scene partner? Did you learn a lot from him?
Oh. Yeah, no, he's amazing. As far as like every time I'm around him, I want to be a sponge. I want to soak up as much knowledge, as much, like just everything that I can from him. I just wanted to be a sponge around him, and he's amazing. Like at the cliff scene, it kind of almost felt like Shakespearean in a way, because he's like climbing up this mountain and, you know, trying to get me to dang, I don't want to spoil everything, but he's that scene and how he did that, how he blocked everything. It was like, wow, okay, so this is what we're doing. And I just followed his lead. You know, he's a great man to follow. He's a leader. And like I said, every time I was around him, I just wanted to be a sponge. And I feel like some of the other guys feel the same way as well, you know.
Damien, how about you?
I mean, I feel the same way, you know, that what Jack King is saying. He had a lot of knowledge for us. He was a great mentor to look up to. He had so many stories to tell us personally with acting. And he was always so present on screen, off screen. He was always with us, you know. He wanted to
Exactly.
experience the full experience with us guys. And it just felt amazing, you know. It was like, wow, snap, like this Matthew Modine, what? Like, so it was overall just beautiful just to work with him. So
Jackson, you know, you probably have great stories as well, but you know, as a scene partner, Matthew must be like butter to work with.
we hit the lottery with getting Matthew. He, I mean, like Joaquin and Damien is saying, it's not even. We hit the lottery with him as an actor, but also him as a human being. And he's an like there's the two sides to it. And working with him, just as an artist and as a creative, I mean, he has done hundreds, literally hundreds of films, and worked with the greatest directors of all time. I mean, notably just recently, Nolan. Like I remember sitting in the trailer and him telling us about stories about shooting Oppenheimer with Nolan and what that was like. And so just, and then, you know, getting to rehearse scenes and he's there and he's so excited about it and he's pouring everything he has into it. And it forces everyone to sort of rise to his level and rise to the occasion. But then also on the other side of things, just as a friend, as a mentor, as someone to look up to, and just as a role model, the way he treats people, the way he views the world and carries himself within it, it's a beautiful thing to witness too. And you know, I can't get enough of him. I wish I could have him in my life every day. He's just a beautiful, beautiful man inside and out.
As we wind down this interview, and thank you all so much for your time. It's been a great a lot of fun. I'll start with Damien. Damien, what do you think audiences are going to take away from watching Hard Miles?
I think it's going to give them inspiration, give them hope, give them motivation to see the world in a bigger light than what they're used to, or it's going to give them passion that they're able to do anything in life, and it's going to make you feel something. It's going to tug on your heart, your soul, and if you're having a bad day, you're not going to have a bad day anymore after
So,
watching. People are going to love it and resonate with it. So, yeah.
happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Jaking, how about you? What do you think people are going to walk away with from watching the film?
Hey, exactly what Damien said. You're going to feel something. You're going to feel love. You're going to feel hope. And yeah, it doesn't matter where you came from. You know, your environment does not define you. It does not define you at all. You know, you're going to push forward. You're going to keep going, and everything will be all right. That's exactly what Hard Miles is about.
Well, this is I think this is a movie for everyone, you know, no matter what age you are, 'cause yes, it's a coming of age story, but there's things for any sort of audience member of any walk of life that I think people are going to get out of this, because there's a lot of aspects to the movie that are at play here. But for me personally, my hope is for young people to feel seen. And I know that a lot of the times, you know, growing up, it's easy to feel like an outsider or feel misunderstood, just like these boys do. But I think to, you know, I hope there's kids out there that are able to watch this movie and see characters and see people that are underrepresented on screen. And I think it's an important story we're telling. And so I just hope that, yeah, kids leave the theater feeling like they're not alone and feeling connected to these characters, and that they can do what they did as well, and overcome the their obstacles that they were dealt.
Kristen, let's hear
Yeah,
from you.
really quickly, I'd like to add that Matthew always likes to talk about how this film was made with a lot of love. because it is a small budget movie. And I think that authenticity comes across on screen. We really went to these locations. There's not a single green screen shot. Dan was out there figuring out how to tell this story amidst the elements. And what that means is you really feel like you're in the Rockies. You go to the Grand Canyon. You go, well, spoiler alert, you go to, Monument Valley. You're in these places. And so your initial reaction, like mine is most of the time, if it's not Barbenheimer, is like, oh, I'll just wait till it's on digital. This really is worth experiencing on the big screen because it places you on the saddle in these epic locations and puts you through it with the boys.
And Daniel, you have the last word.
All right. Yeah, I mean, everyone summed it up so well, but like what I would say is, it is like also a true story, and so many true stories, you find out later, oh, things weren't so hard, or this person wasn't so great actually. This is one of those stories where like it really is all of the things that we're showing in the film, even if you have to kind of shorten things or abridge things or tweak things. Like this really is a story of not just like one incredible person who's helped so many boys in his life, but also the story of, based on, inspired by real kids who have gone on to, change their own lives and live better lives. And all these actors just brought, they brought their own, like a whole world to each character and a whole life to the character. And I think that comes through in everyone portrayed on screen. And so I just think there is, like said, a little something for everyone. And I think there's a depth to the movie that you maybe won't be expecting until you go in and experience it for yourself. So I hope people give it a shot.
It's a terrific film that way, and you guys did such a
Thank
great
you.
job. Before I go, did you guys get to keep the bikes?
Yeah, I still have mine. I consider it a piece of art because Greg Townsend hand welded all the bikes that you see in the film, and when you look at it up close, you can see all the weld marks, and it's beautiful, and it has our characters' names on the side. And I mean, that bike is a symbol for me. It means so much to me. And so I have it mounted on my wall and I get to look at it every day.
Well, I
I
agree.
didn't get to keep mine,
I ride it, so
yeah.
Well,
Zach, who's not on this call, was happy to never see a bike again, I think.
Why can't we just take the car? I remember that line very well.
I know.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure, and what a great, great film.
Thank you.
Well,
Thank
thank you.
you.
Bye
Thank
bye.
you.
Thanks for your
Bye.
time.